Your Grace, thank you for your talk tonight. And I especially welcome the emphasis on mission, which, and the holistic nature of mission as you articulated it. And you know, on reflection, it seemed to me that item one is really the core issue. And you know, so often in these days of controversy, I think the most helpful thing is to really go back to those foundations. And so I wondered if you could say a little bit in these closing moments about how you would articulate the gospel of Christ and of the kingdom.
Could you just repeat the last question, part of the question?
I wondered if you could take a few minutes to articulate for us how you yourself understand the gospel of Christ and of the kingdom. You know, it's so fundamental, and it's right there at point one. And it often seems to me that in mission it's very helpful in times of crisis to revisit those issues. And I wondered if you could just say a bit about that.
How many days have we got? Thank you. It's a very good question, and it's one that really, I think, deserves more than a few minutes of reflection before one actually begins to speak. But when I think about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, here are some things that come to my mind. Excellence in the liturgy. Liturgy that is a joyful, grateful expression of everything that God has done for us in Christ. We stand before the mystery of God in Christ in awe and wonder, love and praise. I've always been convinced that worship is one of the most important things we do as a church. In fact, it's our first responsibility, isn't it? To praise God, to give thanks for everything God has done for us in Christ. So, everything we do in terms of preparing for worship is of the utmost importance. People's experience on Sunday morning is absolutely critical. Because if they feel in the Sunday morning experience comforted, pushed, prodded, challenged, inspired by the gospel, then the worship has accomplished something of what it set out to do. Preparation for that kind of worship is absolutely critical on the part of clergy and lay leadership. You've got a diocese with a vision for excellence in leadership, where you're talking about worship that is transformative. So that's the first thing. The second thing, which is really within the context of worship, is preaching. And my sense is that whether the world knows it or not, it's longing for the good news that Christ represents. So we've got to be, it seems to me, in our preaching, very, very Christ-centered. And then we've got to take that message of trying to live Christ-centered lives into our life. We've got to learn to embody in the way we think and act in the world. We've got to embody that in the way we live. I think the other thing that is becoming more and more important in the life of the church, and I think we're learning this from First Nations peoples, and that is the beauty and the gift of being able to tell stories. That's how they work through all kinds of things in their communities, by telling stories. And it's one of the things that, as Anglicans, we probably need some nurturing in our comfort level and our capacity to tell stories, to tell faith stories that move and inspire other people to faith as well. I was in a diocese or in a parish last Sunday, and the local bishop there had been there the Sunday before for the baptism of the Lord, and he challenged the people, apparently, through Lent this year, to think about their own faith story. And then he challenged them to share that with someone they know, so they're going to be reasonably comfortable with that. And then when you've done that, he said, I'm asking you to consider telling that story to someone who's not yet a person of faith. So he's calling them to use their own story, their own experience of Christ, in bringing others to Christ. And I think we need to be doing much more of that kind of thing in the life of the church.